All right, last Wednesday we talked about being the salt and light, and we're going through the Sermon on the Mount. And again, the Sermon on the Mount is a wonderful passage of Scripture to preach through because there's a lot of little nuggets in there, right? You could stop anywhere along the line and have yourself a really good sermon or a really good devotion on that topic. But you've got to make sure you remember it's one thought. One thought, and that thought being your actions matter, and those actions should point to Christ in a favorable way. Right? When he says that you ought to be the salt and the light, right? Blessed be these people. Blessed be those people. Why? Because their actions, their trying, or the trying of their situation will make them better. God will bless them for what they're going through. Right? So we see that, hey, this ought to be how life is. Don't worry when this happens. And when this happens, you ought to be doing that and you'll be blessed. When he says that you are the salt and the light, your behavior on the day to day, be it hard stuff or easy stuff, right, should point others to Christ. Again, being the salt or being the light. God is everywhere. We as the salt, call that into remembrance to people. How we treat others matters. If we are being bombastic, if we are being mean and awful, that is not showing the love of Christ. If I am weak and waffling on doctrine, right? And we go to the other extent of it, right? We're not just being mean, but I don't care about doctrine at all. I'm unwilling to tell people that certain things are wrong. I'm unwilling to give certain obediences in my own life, right? We've got that said. Well, you're not good. You're going to be a problem as well. So the first sermon was about how to get it right. This second part of it, chapter 6, is more about what happens when it goes wrong. Verse 1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, we'll stop right there at verse 4. One of the things that Jesus is calling out in society is this notion of my religion serves to put the attention on myself. It garners attention for me. So my church attendance is about me. I want everyone to know that I've got perfect church attendance. We did that at Flat Rock for the kids. If they had perfect attendance for church, we called them up, we gave them a certificate, and we were all glad, and they got to sing a song, and it was a really cool thing. I kind of liked it. But we didn't do it for the adults. You want to know why? Because you shouldn't need it. Right? You shouldn't need it. Right? Why do we do it for the kids? Because it's fun. You know, we don't do it here. And one of these days I might feel compelled to do so. Not right now, though. No purpose to it. Because why? Our religion, our service to the Lord isn't for our own edification. It's not for our own glory. So I can sit there and I can puff up my chest. You know, that guy who every time he backs out of his driveway for church on Sunday morning, honking the horn so the neighbors know he left. Right? On days where he don't go, he puts the car in the garage so people think he did go, right? That's not us. The purpose isn't for people to see us doing godly things. The purpose is for us to do godly things. To be that extension of the Lord's hand in this earth, all right, to point others towards him. Right? It's not about how impressive you think I am. In this particular case, he's talking about alms. Right, we're talking about people who are sitting there going, all right, what are we going to do? Well, This is the day normally where I rake out all my gold and we go out and we give everybody a coin out in the street. Everybody gets a coin. So I tell you, well, let's have the servant go out. He's going to hit the gong, right, to tell all the poor people to come on by so all of my neighbors can see all the poor people coming to my house, getting a coin, getting some bread, and I'm going to be out there waving at them in my finest. Hey, how's it going? Good to see you. Here you go. But hey, blow that trumpet, hit that gong, though, because I want people to know we're doing this. The purpose of it is for you to see me. We were in a business meeting. There was this benefactor in the church. Only the pastor knew who was doing it. Whenever something needed to be done, it would just be bought. We're like, all right, well, we're going to buy this. And the church would get together. And do we have the funds? Can we do all the stuff you do in a business meeting? And then we would go to vote on it. And we would vote on it. And then the next Sunday we would come in and find out that somebody had paid the whole thing off. And it really started, wow, okay, well, what's happened? It didn't happen a lot, but it happened enough to where there's somebody in here that's doing it. We don't know who it is. Well, that person got older, and they accidentally said something in the middle of the meeting. They're like, we're having the meeting, like, all right, well, when we bought this, we did this, and now it's time for us to, I think it was to get a new one. And they said, well, I paid off the last one real quick, and then they got real quiet. Oh, there they are. Never wanted anybody to know. The church had need. They were doing some stuff on the side that was helping them out. And boom, there they go. It wasn't about calling attention to themselves. It wasn't about, hey, look at what I'm doing. Because there are people that do that. All right, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $100,000 to put a brand new wing on the church, but my name better be on a plaque in there. Hey, listen, I'll give the money for us to do that repair, but my wife here, she wants to be a Sunday school teacher. So you understand how that goes. And we've seen that in churches. Not here, but we've seen that in churches where it's either the biggest mouth or the biggest pocketbook doing the talking. That's not how that goes. I've even seen this where people came into a large sum of money and the Lord put it into their heart and they said, well, I'm going to give this money to the church, but I want it to go to this thing that I think the church should be doing that we're not currently doing. No, just give that in there. Just, pastor, don't tell anybody. They'll go to the treasurer. I never did it because I never fell across that much money. But no, we had somebody, they gave quite a few $1,000s. Never found out who it was. It was just one little bump we saw a month when we were looking at the report. Everybody asked, but nobody told. Why? Because it wasn't the point. Hey, I don't care what it goes to. I don't care what the point is. We'll talk about it in the business meeting. But don't, well, one person did it. They said, don't tell the pastor. Don't tell the pastor I did this. I don't want anybody to know I did this. Just take it. Lord's blessed me. Here you go. And folks, that ought to be it. We see today there are, quote unquote, well, let's call them, well, they are franchise churches out there. And they've got the video cameras rolling. And they're going up to homeless people. And hey, here you go. Praise the Lord. Lord gave us the ability to come out here and give this to you. And they got the camera in these people's faces. They don't have homes. They ain't showered in a while. They didn't give or ask any permission to be able to do this. Just, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Why? So we could talk about how great our ministry is to go out there and do these wonderful things. Here's an idea. Go do that. Leave the camera at home. Leave the camera at home. Feed the people, because the purpose of it is God tells us to do those sorts of things, to be kindly and charitable to other people, right? You see people on their social media is really bad for it, because they'll be like, hey, I saw a homeless guy outside of the courthouse, gave him $20. You know, Lord blesses you, you got to pass it on. Well, yeah, but you're not supposed to brag about it. You're not supposed to brag about it. Why? Because the purpose of you doing that is to take care of others, to be a help. Hey, so-and-so was having an issue, so I went over and I did this and we did that. And whatever it is not to bring glory to ourselves. What I believe the Lord is saying here is some of you got the flavor wrong. Some of you are the wrong kind of salt. Some of you are you're light, but that light is pointing the direction to the wrong person. Don't put on a show when we serve the Lord. Salt is good. You can put it on your meat. You can put it on your popcorn. Salt is good in the right context. And you guys know how we get salt, right? If it's a salt we're putting on the table, we either process certain kinds of sea, certain kinds of seawater to get the salt out of it, get different kinds. Or we flush fresh water down into a salt mine. We get it out. We process that water, and we get good salt. But there's that other kind of salt that us Michiganders were used to. That's rock salt. That's where we dug down there and we brought it up in its natural, undiluted form. It's got all kinds of minerals ain't good for you. It's got all kinds of chemicals in there ain't good for you. Why? Because it hasn't been processed through. So what do we do with that? We do exactly what that verse says. We take it, we throw it out there on the sidewalk for people to walk across. We take it, we dump it on our streets for people to drive over. Why? Because it's no good for eating. When we make our relationship with God more about a religion for other people to see good in us, that is the kind of salt we've become. The useless kind of salt. Right? We need to make sure that we're doing the right thing. When I was a kid, we'd go walking through the woods. If we could get a hold of a flashlight, we'd have that kind of fun between me and my cousins. We'd try to get ourselves into scary situations just to see who would go home. So we got a flashlight. We'd walk out there in the middle of the woods. We're just walking out. We walk out far. And it'd always be that one person you didn't want to hold the flashlight. Right? If you're walking with a group of people, where do you put the light on the flashlight? You put it right on the trail, two or three steps ahead. Am I right? You don't do this. Many of us, we're the light. We're holding the light. But we've got it down at our toes. We're sitting there making sure our outfit still looks good. We're making sure other people can see us. Hey, I want to go home. Can everybody see me? I want to go home. People falling left and right. No, we need to be that light that points to Christ instead. He's sitting there talking about how you guys are giving your alms, but you're giving your alms publicly. You're giving your alms to drag attention to yourself. You want God to bless that. You do so quietly. We don't want to embarrass anybody to get glory to ourselves. We don't want to steal any glory from God and put that on us. We want you to be blessed, and we want God to get the glory. Right? Because I'll tell you what, any dime that ever left my pocket was because God put it in there. Any person I've ever met was because God gave me the strength to walk over there. I wouldn't have anything without the Lord. And that's how I want them to see. He used me to drag it to you. That was never mine. He took me, put me in your position, put me in your path, right? I just carried it. Right? Whatever blessing it was, whatever work it was, you know, you need to help across the street, you need to help jump in your car, whatever it was. Right? Lord just put me here. You ever felt like that? I felt like that. Somebody's sitting there. I've been sitting here for hours waiting for someone to drive by. I could use their cell phone or get a help fixing my tire. I'm so glad you're here. Me too. I had no idea you were here. You know, I had no idea. I'm glad the Lord put me here, else I'd have never known. And that's exactly what we are. That's exactly what we're doing. We're just out there serving others. And in serving others, we're serving the Lord. All of this is what? It's obedience to God. It's not about them. It's not about you. It's about the Lord in the end. Don't use God to make yourself look good. Don't use your charity or the things that you do to be kind. Just there to be there to make you look good. Verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now what do I see here in my head? Probably the same thing you see in yours. Somebody's sitting out there, they're on the street corner. Hey! I'm praying. Oh, Lord, what a beautiful... I almost liken that to the people who talk on their cell phones on speaker mode. Or I've seen that a lot. Somebody came in, they toured through the entire apartment community with me. They were on Skype or whatever it was. They were video calling. Now, hold on. Many would say, well, video calling is a perfectly good thing to do if you're talking to someone. No, they weren't talking about the apartment. They got halfway through the tour. They had to tell the person what they were doing because they're trying to figure out why the person they were talking to on the phone was so distracted. Yeah. You know, taking them through. Oh, yeah, how's everybody doing today? Oh, yeah, it's a great restaurant. Very quiet in here. You're drawing attention to yourself. Why? I want you to see that I'm holy. I want you to see how angelic and God-honoring I am. I want you to know that I am a godly person. No. If you're talking to God, you better be talking to God. You better be talking to God. Now, again, I'm not talking about living your faith out loud. You ought to live your faith out loud. Boldness is important. Being able to have those conversations, and that's what we're talking about. Having conversations to point others towards Christ. We're talking about when it goes wrong and you're pointing others towards yourself. If I'm sitting there, somebody says, hey, well, how'd that happen? Well, it was God. God did that. That's good. Well, you know, when you serve God the way I do, when you love God and God loves you, or what was that? Happy Days, Fonzie. Right, that one episode where Fonzie looks up in the air, I thought I was your favorite. Television has so much to answer for. But many people, they live that way. I'm God's favorite. I've saved hundreds of people. By giving them the gospel, I save them. You know, what would my church do without me? What would these people do? It's not about you. What kind of a church member would you be without God? What would you even have to talk to God over if it weren't for Him? And I tell you what, I've had times, you know, I'll talk to people, they've got one of those bad Bluetooth devices. You ever talk to somebody and they're... I can't hear you. Ha, 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 ha. Drives me. Hey, when you call me, can you not use your Bluetooth device? You're either going to need to get an upgrade or stop calling me on it because I can't. And we have the right to say, hey, listen, if you're going to talk to me, can you talk to me like this? Because I'm struggling to hear that. Listen to what the Lord has to say. Don't stand out there making a show. Right? Don't stand out there pointing others towards yourself with this fake conversation you're having with God. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Hey, listen, when you talk to me. Now, again, this is not talking about us praying in public together as a congregation. Not talking about congregational prayer. We're talking you on the street corner shouting your prayers out so everyone sees how holy you are. Lord says, no, what I'd rather you do, go home, go into your closet. Shut the closet door. Because this is a private conversation. And is that not what prayer ought to be? I mean, there are things that I'll talk to God about that I'm uncomfortable talking about in things. We're going to talk about my sin, me and the Lord. We're going to talk about my thoughts and my fears and my failings. We're going to talk about that stuff. That's some door closed conversation stuff. I'm going to make requests. Right? There are things that people have come, hey, pastor, pray about this, but you don't really have to say anything to anybody else about it. We're going to talk about that. Because it's a private conversation between me and the Father. And by the way, I'm not doing that because the Lord says, well, He'll reward you openly. If you're talking to God because you think of some reward, what a dull conversation that must be. Well, I'll pray to God. God will reward me openly. That's what I want. No. I want God to answer me. That's what I want. I want to know the answer. I want to get the healing. I want to see the blessing go to somebody else. I want to see those things. But this isn't about me getting an attaboy. That's my Heavenly Father. And He even goes on, and in this passage He gives us the proper way to pray. Verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. Now, what's funny is we all know what he's about to tell them, right? Hey, when you pray, pray like this. And isn't it funny how some people have, how some religions have taken that prayer and they repeat it vainly? Hey, you shouldn't pray with vain repetitions, thinking that the more you say something, the more likely God's going to hear you, right? Because our God's not like Baal, where we've got to shout at him, kick at him, cut our skin for him, and he still might not answer. He says there, your God knows what you need before you even ask. So just come ready to do business. He knows what you're here for. Right? Aren't you glad that tonight you can get down on your knees and say, Heavenly Father, please forgive me for this. Instead of having to come to me and I'm like, all right, here's what you do. 10 Our Fathers, 20 Hail Marys in an act of contrition, right? Right? You do that, you go wash my car, and you're absolved. No, Father, I messed up. Father, I'm sorry. And it's done. One God, one mediator between God and man. Man, Christ Jesus, isn't that nice? That's what Jesus is saying. When you come to the Lord, come to him with some business. And I absolutely love how he explains this out to them, how it is that they are supposed to pray. Right? He says, our Father, right? That respectful greeting, right? A respectful greeting. Forgive me, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We start off with a respectful greeting. We go to what? Praise. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Right? What is that? That's respect for his will. Because, Lord, I'm about to say a whole lot of gimme, 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 and I want you to understand up front, I trust your will if you say no. Lord, just how it is up in heaven, let it be down here. How you say it, that's the way it needs to be. Respect for his will. Give us this day our daily bread. What's that? That's request for needs. Hey, Father, everything that I need to get through today, please give to me. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. What's that? That's a request for forgiveness and strength to forgive others, because the Lord was going to give us another little piece of that later. He's going to clarify that later. But forgive us as we forgive others. And lead us not into temptation. Lord, wherever it is that you take me, let me not find temptation along the way. Lord, as you lead me and you guide my life, Lord, I pray that we not walk by anything that I'm not strong enough for. That, Lord, in whatever, there be no temptation in this way. And there's some people who say, well, we want to make, he's asking that the Lord not tempt him. We already read in the scriptures, God doesn't tempt his people. So what are we asking him to do? Don't take me down any paths where I'm going to be tempted. Lord, whatever happens today, keep the hooligans out of my way. Those people who love their shenanigans. As I was studying in the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, that strange woman that's talked about in Proverbs, he refers to her in the book of Ecclesiastes. Keep me from those things. Don't lead me in that path, because I don't want to face that today. So lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now remember, in the Bible, the word evil there has a multifold reason. It could be evil as in moral evil. It could be evil as in disaster evil. Could be evil as in being preyed upon type evil, where something bad happens to you because of somebody else, right? We would say that my car tire exploding would be evil that wasn't done to me. Somebody knifing my tire would be an evil that was done to me. So it covers multiple things, and I firmly believe that the Lord's telling us that it's okay for us to pray for all three to not happen. Whatever form of evil, Lord, protect me from it. All right. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Right. How do we end it? With praise and worship. With praise and worship. Because you've got to remember who you're talking to. I did that to my dad one time. I probably did it more than once as I became a teenager. But I did that to my dad one time. Go do this. Yeah, I'm not doing that. It didn't go so well. I learned. No, you're going to go do it. Kicking and screaming or by your own volition, you're doing it. Or as I like to say in my house, you're either going to do it on the back of your feet or you're going to do it on the tips of mine. Either way, it's getting done. Right? We show respect. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. We'll go to the restaurant, won't we? Hey, is there anything else I can get you? Oh, no, thank you. I'm good. Hey, can I have that, please? Hey, would it be... We show random strangers respect. When we're talking to the holy God, we need to put our best on. Now, I'm not talking flowery prayer language. I'm not talking trying to dip into Shakespearean prose to be able to approach God. Now, come to God as you are, but put some respect in that conversation. You talk to him like you know who you're talking to. The Bible says come to him boldly, yes, but not rudely. That is your heavenly Father. You show up with some respect, right? For thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen. So let it be. And we see here as he continues on, because our forgiveness, right, and we'll go ahead and read that before I walk away from the Bible. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors is what he says in verse 12. Verse 14, he comes back, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, why would that be such an important thing for us to understand? Number one, because it's true. Number two, because it speaks to the heart of what he's saying. You think you're too mighty. You think that because you have a relationship with me, you've got it all figured out. The only reason why you have a relationship with God is because he forgave you. And if we're unwilling to forgive others, that makes us like the guy in the parable who is forgiven this great debt, goes to toss somebody in the jail for change. We need to be as forgiving as the forgiveness. We need to remember who we are in God's eyes. That's why I think he dropped that right there. I don't think that he was trying to go back and explain something he said in his prayer. I firmly believe that there was a purpose to that, and that purpose was what? You need to throw on some humility. Because you get to talk to me because you get to talk to the Father because of the sacrifice I'm about to make. If you won't forgive others, he won't forgive you. Folks, we are nothing without him. There is nothing to shine the light on this way. There's nothing about me that needs to flavor what I do. So we see he tells us exactly how to pray. Why it is so important that we pray in that way. We also see, if you'll allow me to back up, you know what? Forgive me. Verse 16, we don't need to back up, we need to go forward. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. Hey, trivia, how many fasts did God command? How many mandatory fasts were in the law? Does anybody know? One. It was on the Day of Atonement. Fast on the Day of Atonement. Now, there were other situations and other things where you could fast, but there was one mandatory one. Now, the Pharisees in their literature, they got clever, because how could you really tell that I'm a good Christian or I'm a good Hebrew if I only fast once a year? And if I don't have regulated times that you know I'm doing it, how would you even know I'm doing it? I was talking to Brother Charlie. That's why we were talking about his phone. That's why we call smartphones smartphones, because you wouldn't know unless we called it smart that it was smart. Otherwise, you'd have no idea it was smart. But so they had a different thing. Monday and Thursdays. Mondays and Thursdays, the Pharisees had set aside where they would fast. And I tell you what, you've never met a group of people who historically, by the way, who historically hammed up their fasting. Right? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were very open. If you really study who they were and what they did, they were very open about their suffering for God. The Sadducees had a special sect within them that would go around beating themselves senseless in public just so you could see how holy they were. All right? They would walk around with things around their faces, some of them. So that they would be blind and they'd be bumping into things. They called them the bleeding Sadducees because they'd just be bumping into stuff. And that carried into some early stage Catholicism later on down the road where people would sit there and they would hurt themselves to try to gain favor with God, which you don't see in Scripture. But anyway, Monday and Thursdays, these guys would fast. And I can already tell how this went just based on how Jesus was talking about it here. Don't make a show of it. Right? Sunday, you just, so we have the Sabbath on a Saturday. Sunday, no doubt, you did a little extra. You ate a little bit more because you could do a little bit more. You were allowed to cook. So you had fresh food. Monday, you're fasting. So you don't do your hair. And you don't do anything with your beard. And you put on your old clothes because these are my fasting clothes. And we go out in public. Hey, do you want to walk on down to the... No, I can't. Fasting. I'm so tired. Noon would roll around, right? You just kind of imagine the dramatic, yeah, we're fasting today. Monday it's fasting. So you're not a Pharisee. You wouldn't understand. See, we're fasting, right? It's almost like CrossFit or selling stuff, you know. You wouldn't understand. You're not part of us, right? We do yoga. We do whatever it is, right? It becomes so, we're a special group and we're fasting and we're so holy right now. And then Tuesday would come and they would eat, and Wednesday would come and they would eat. Come Thursday, after 2 days of eating, what are they? They're starved again, starved little wretched rats just clinging to life. Being that they were the richest people in society and they had the most to eat and they had the most to go home and be comfortable with, but they acted so pitiful in public. I just don't have the energy today. Don't do that. You're dragging attention to yourself. That's not the purpose of it. Right? Your administrations, be they prayer or fasting, those belong to God. So what does he say? Slick your hair back, if you're a man, right? Do your hair up. Anoint your head. Nowadays we'll anoint our head with like pomade or hairspray, right? Right? Get it right. Put your clothes on. Don't let anybody know you're fasting. Because that's between us. That's between us. I don't need you. I'm trying to talk to God right now. I want his attention. It's almost like name dropping God in a conversation. You ever meet anybody famous? The most famous person I've ever met was Jerry Springer, which is not very exciting. It's really not. Right? I impress people every now and then. Yeah, he's got a New England accent because I know him because I met him at a bookstore down in Cincinnati for like 10 whole minutes. No, like it's like we're name dropping God to impress people. I'm fasting because, well, me and God, we're good. You're not good. Without him, you're not good. Without him, there's something fundamentally wrong with you that would cause you to time and time again transgress his law, and he will not have any parts with people who live so much in sin. You couldn't reach him without him. The most important thing about us is him. Now, don't drag your knuckles through the sand over that. Don't choke on that. Right? It's okay. Because we're all like that. And God saw enough value in you to have any part of you. So don't, oh, I'm just a bum. I'm not good. Don't do that either. Right? The Bible doesn't spell it out for us. The law doesn't spell out our sin so that we can have a pity party. It's so that we know we've got to go. Right? If I'm over, I'm at Brother Mike's house and it's on fire. And I go, Brother Mike, we got to get out of here. The house is on fire. Well, I'm sorry you didn't like my house, brother. I'm sorry you had a hard time breathing in here. Sorry it's too warm. You know, sorry the roof's falling down. I guess that's just the way it is. That's not the purpose. What's the purpose of it? All right, my house is on fire. Probably should get some water. probably should call 911. Probably should get out of here. That's the purpose of the law. The law was to point out what the problem was, not so that we would feel bad about the problem, but so that we would seek the solution. We're nothing without that solution. We're nothing without it. We need Him. Why on earth would we sit there and be braggadocious about the things that we have done? Right? The cathedrals, they sang that song, "Just a Sinner Saved by Grace." Right? Glenn Payne, he took that second verse. He goes, "How could I boast of anything I've ever seen or done? How could I dare to claim as mine the victories God has won? Where would I be had God not put me?" What? See, I can only read Sister Ruth Ann's brain, mind. No, hers are the only ones. But no, I'm here to say I'm nothing but just an old sinner saved by grace. I can't take the credit. I can't take the glory. Because I wouldn't be able to touch any of this. Makes me angry when you see people who are so righteous, they can't look over towards others. That's not what your righteousness is supposed to do. He didn't pull you out of the muck and the mire because He was concerned about the smell of the people down there. He pulled you out of the muck and the mire so you could turn around and point others towards Him. It was for the deliverance of others. It's for His honor, for His glory. Oh, so we ought not to brag. Oh, I did this and I did that. And I tell you what, I got up at 5 a.m. and I preached on the street corner all the way to midnight. And then I got up, I slept for a little while, got up, and I went and I did it again. And hundreds of people heard the gospel, and I'm assuming I saved 500 people that week. You saved not a one of them. If the Lord saved any of them, the Lord saved them. Praise the Lord, you had the wherewithal to serve them. Praise the Lord, you had the strength to get out there and do it. Praise the Lord, you didn't fight them on it, and you went out and you did what you were supposed to do. But none of that belonged to you. None of that mattered. Yesterday, Danielle, she said, "I'm not feeling good. But on Tuesdays, I like to do something special when the ladies are up here doing the ladies' fellowship. We like to do something special." And she knew I wanted to do a pizza, so she started making the dough of this pizza. And if you've ever made pizza dough, you know that is most of the battle. Am I right on this? It's most of the battle. Right? So they're putting stuff, she's putting stuff together, she's stretching it out, she preheats the dough, so what does Dad do? Throw some sauce on it, throw some cheese on it, throw some toppings on it, tosses it into the oven, and those boys, they got it right. Thanks, Mom. They got it right. And that's us. The Holy Spirit, the Lord gave us the Word, the Lord saved us, the Holy Spirit worked in us. He prepared everything. He gave it to you. You gave the next guy what God gave you. The Holy Spirit worked in that person's heart. The Holy Spirit worked in them. And He saved them. And we're sitting there going, "Well, you know, those were some clever words. You know, I did put that together nicely, didn't I?" You never would have had them. You'd have had some nice words and nothing to throw it on. Oh, folks, the gospel does not belong to us. We did not generate it. We did not create it. God gave it to us as what? A gift. A gift. Oh, we can't sit there and say that we've got anything about us that deserves a thank you. I'm using the Lord's strength. I'm using the Lord's words. I'm using the experiences that He's put in my life to make me be able to say this to you today. It's not us being clever. It's not our prowess. Some of us are better at some things than others, but it doesn't matter because the Holy Spirit's the one that does the real work. I'm not saying you ought to be lazy. I'm not saying that you ought to put in half an effort. You serve the Lord, you serve the Lord to the fullest of your ability because it's the Lord you're serving. But man, we don't sit there and say, "Oh, look at my talent, look at my ability. I'm so proud of myself." No. There's nothing about us that deserves that. He goes on to say, as we're done talking about the fast, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." See, what we're doing when we're living our Christianity so that people could see how great we are, we're putting treasures down here, right? I want people to see how great I am right here. The problem is those things come and go. They come and go. You spend 40 years trying to establish everybody in your life on the fact that you are a good, godly Christian person. You mess up once, guess what? It's gone. It's gone. And we're not just talking about that, but you're sitting there and you're bragging about your riches and you're getting all this popularity. The popularity is getting you money. The money is giving you power. The power is getting you popularity again, and it's a cycle, and you're just driving that thing. Well, what happens when the wheels fall off and it's gone? And it's gone. You know, sometimes I think it's an insurance thing, but how often do you see, oh yeah, somebody broke into my house? And we had this family heirloom, and we got it from such and such a place, and it's worth X amount of dollars. It's been in my family for generations, and somebody came in one night and they took it away. That's our riches on earth, folks. Oh, I've got this beautiful thing. I've had it for so long, but the problem is, after a while, it wore out. So I had to go back and get another one. I did that just recently with my day planner. Loved my new day planner. It had things in it just the way I liked it. Could keep track of things real nice. It was better than any of the ones I ever had. It was the first one I ever ran into the ground, went out and bought another one of the exact same thing. Paid $8 for it. It's one of my favorite things about it. Things here, they'll wear out. Got to go buy another one. People will break in and steal these things. We'll break things on our own, being careless and reckless, like with our testimony. Break things on our own. We'll live out loud so people could see how wonderful we are, and all of a sudden we'll do that thing that'll betray our real hearts, and all that's gone. I'd much rather the Lord be impressed by me. It says here in this passage of Scripture, they have their reward. Could you imagine? The Lord saves you. He enables you, changes you from what you were to what you could be today, gives you all of these things, and you're out there trying to get some applause for it. Well, guess what? There you go. There you go. I was at a conference one time, and they asked a preacher to come up, and the preacher had written several books, and he was quite popular and famous among some of the people that were there. And as he got up, I saw something I had never seen for a preacher before. It was applause. And I go, oh man, I hope that's not the best that ever comes out of this message, because I need a blessing. I hope that's not the only reward comes out of this thing. He'd say something, and instead of amen, go. He came down off of the pulpit. Here's your reward. Hot dog. Hot dog. You know, I just wanted to make sure everybody knows how much work I'm putting in. Enjoy it. Don't spend it all in one place. Whereas when I get up into heaven, you know what I'm really wanting to do? I want those things to turn into crowns, gold, silver, precious jewels. And I want to take those and I want to lay them at my Father's feet. That's what I want. Applaud, don't applaud. Like me, don't like me. Say vicious things. Draw awful pictures about me, like cartoons, whatever. Go for it. Go for it. As long as when I cross the stream, I've got something to give God other than, well, people liked me a bunch. Well, people thought I did pretty good. No. I don't please the Lord. Please, Lord, that's what I should want to do. Have one master. And that pretty much sums up the rest of the chapter. Have one master. Because this applause, this going for the prestige of men, I tell you what I'll do is I'm going to get real good at this religion thing. I'm going to get real good at this preaching thing. I'm going to get real good at this book writing thing. I'm going to amass millions of dollars. I'm going to buy a jet so I could travel around and show people my $1 million teeth and my $2 million suit, and I can just show this off. Right? I'm going to get really good at this. I'm going to get to that point. And folks, that'll be all the reward you'll have. Hey, when you lived, did you not travel around in a fancy jet? Well, yeah. I mean, you never once considered all the starving people around you. You never once considered putting that back into the church and helping people in there. Right? You're those people in your own crystal cathedral starving to death. And you're begging them for money. That ever come across your mind? The amount of times where you'll be at a church and they'll pass that plate around 2 to 3 more times because the pastor's going on vacation. There's your reward. Were you not comfortable? Did you not have a big belly? Did you not have comfortable living? There's your reward. There's your reward. And of course, we understand why it's a temptation for us to want to build here, for us to want to have lots of money, for us to want to have lots of things, which in Ecclesiastes, he spells it out. Those things will not save you. They're vanity, right? How did he put it? Work is a defense. Money is a defense. But wisdom takes the cake. Wisdom is the source of life. Right? You can sit there and be like Lot and lose that, not Lot, I'm sorry, be like Job and lose everything. Wisdom will get it back for you. Serving the Lord will get it back for you. If all you've got is money, if all you've got is applause, and you lose it, very hard chance for it to come back. Right? That story of the Beverly Hillbillies, that doesn't normally happen. Right, for those of you hunters going out there when gun season rolls around, don't get your hopes up. Right? Not likely. I was out there on my property, Sean, and oil came out. You typically got to work to get there. Or else you make a buffoon of yourself when it goes. And we do. We've got that motivation. I want to be taken care of. I want to make sure that I have these things. I want to make sure that I've got food in my tummy. I want to make sure that I've got clothes on my back. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, but what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? If I serve mammon, if I serve this world and I tear myself apart trying to get things corruptible, I'll probably attain some nice things, but I might not. Whereas in the service of the Lord, you don't go hungry. In the service of the Lord, there's a whole system set up there. Right? There's the church to help take care of people. Right? There's us. You know, if we've got members in the church and they're struggling, we try to help. Because we should. We should. We know people that are having a hard time, we reach out to them. It's what we should do. And likewise, when we fall apart, when we fall down, when we need help, guess what's there for you? A helping hand. Here, let me be there for you. Let me be a part of it. Hey, listen, I know you're walking through a rough patch. I'll walk through it with you. We're church members. I'll walk through this with you. It's not about charity. It's not about lifting one's head up over the other. You're my friend. Here we go. Right? We're brothers and sisters. If your brother's doing some work, hey, you go over and do some work. Right? Your sister has a need, hey, we'll be there for you. Right? God uses us to take care of each other. God works situations out to help take care of us. And is it a $1 million jet? No, but I'll tell you what, right now, a Dodge Caravan will get you there just fine. It does. You know, talking to somebody, yeah, our pastor, he drives this, and we're quite proud that he's able to drive this. I go, I drive a Ford Escape. I don't think my church has ever thought about being proud about a car. I win. That's just how I feel. You know, I win. We're not looking to make some car company rich. We're not making to make some jet company rich. Our goal is not for people to see, look at all the stuff I got. Our goal is to get God to see how thankful we are. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want God to see our thankfulness. I want God to see our love. And in no better way do we show that than when we care for each other, when we trust in Him. And He'll be there for you. Hey, you know, I'm really struggling. This is kind of something I need. Poop, there it is. You know? Or I like when the Lord gives you a little extra ahead of time and you hang on to it because you're just waiting. You know, Sometimes the Lord gives you the resources before the thing. Sometimes the thing happens before the resources. But I tell you what, God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. Don't worry about this world. Don't worry about your belly. Don't worry about the things. Do your responsible duties. Serve him. He'll take care of the rest. Been threatened to be fired so many times if I don't compromise. Didn't happen once. And if it did, right, as the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and even if he doesn't, I'd still rather serve God than you. He's a better boss than you'll ever be, right? He's a better he's a better master than you'll ever be. Right now, I'll tell you this, my God's never thrown me a pizza party because we hit quota. But he's taken care of me. He's given me the ability to do this job. You've gotten the blessing off of it. Not worried. You do that, we'll never talk to you again. Well, that will break my heart, but I'd rather serve God than to serve you because he'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. You walk away all hot and bothered, I'll be sitting here with the door wide open waiting for you to come back. Don't you worry. Tons of forgiveness waiting for you over here. Why? Because there's tons of forgiveness waiting for me over there. I've received a ton. So I've got a ton to give. Got a lot to give. Take therefore, verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I've never had a job that could promise me job security. Right? People get laid off all the time. In my industry, properties were sold all the time. We'd be of the week of the takeover. Hey, and you guys going to offer me a job to go with you? Or are they going to offer me a job? Like, come Friday, like, what happens? Where do I clock in on Monday? Oh, we don't know. We're going to have a big meeting on Wednesday. We'll let you know. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I got two kids at home. This is rough, man. This is rough. I've never had a friend who was able to promise me unconditional love. I've never had a family member that was able to promise to forgive me as often as I have messed up. But in God, I've got all of those things. And the good thing is I don't have to choose one or the other. I've got to focus on him, and I still get to have the job. Maybe not that job, but my loyalty is here. I'm still going to work. My loyalty is going to be right here. I'm still going to have friends. My loyalty is right here. I'm going to be able to forgive you and keep the door open for when you're done with your temper tantrum, you can come back. I get to have the best of life. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Right? The same God that I'm serving today, and the same God that's taking care of me today is going to be the same God that takes care of me tomorrow. I'm not worried. He never changes positions. He never goes. He never switches companies. He is the God of all creation. He does not operate on the low levels we work on. I mentioned last week, he's no boss. He's my Heavenly Father. I would much rather serve him than anything here on earth. Anything inconsistent and anything as frail and as fragile as we see down here today. We ought not to get distracted by our need. We ought not to get distracted by ourselves and get all hoity-toity about ourselves. Because in all honesty, there's nothing we could do. Nothing we could do. I got a sermon coming up. I think I'm going to preach it on Sunday night. Out of Isaiah. He's sitting there in front of the Lord and those angels. Just a scary sight that was, right? Glory filling the temple. There was glory filling the room. Smoke filling the room. The beams on the door shaking. Woe unto me. Woe unto me. I'm undone. I'm unclean. I don't deserve this. Folks, we need to be a little bit of there. Not in a way that destroys us like I think Isaiah was doing. You remember how Moses was? Moses was like, Lord, you don't want to send me. I'm just, you know, I'm nothing important. You understand who I am? Like, I killed a guy there, you know. Be super uncomfortable for me. I'm not an eloquent speaker, you know. Boy, am I glad that that's not a qualification for the Lord, you know. We need some humility. We need some humility. Because this is all about gratitude. It's all about gratitude. I know I'm going too far, but we were a busted creation. A busted creation that would have been better off, crumbled up and left. Look at this world today. And every single last one of us in this room, that's exactly how we'd be acting right now. Okay? It's exactly how we would be right now. Because that's what this world is. That's what this creation is. It's self-centered. It's selfish. It thinks nothing more of its pleasure and its own whims and desires. The thoughts of every man, right? Our thoughts are right in our own eyes. We think everything we think is right. We think everywhere our heart leads is right. We teach kids through cartoons that you gotta follow your hearts. That's what we are. And we ignore the people in the graves, ignore the people in the hospitals, ignore the people with "I wish I would have nevers." We ignore them because what I want is so much better. No. Take yourself out of it. Without God, we're nothing. Don't put the light on me. I don't want whatever I do to have the flavor of me. I want it to remind people of the Lord. No other way to do this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.